Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. Today we are continuing our series looking at the spiritual disciplines. Next up, a man in fasting. Our speaker is Pat Morley, author and founder of Man in the Mirror.
Good morning, men. And welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study. I want to welcome the guys that are joining us online, as we always do. And so let's give them that warm, arousing Man in the Mirror welcome on the count of three. One, two, three. Hoorah! So welcome, men, to you. And our topic today is the next in the line of spiritual disciplines, man and fasting. So there are a lot of approaches we could take to this, but I'm going to take this approach. You feel the weight of the world in every direction. Unjust suffering, bickering, snark, road rage, war, politics, religious strife. Or you've been struck by calamity or fear one. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe it's your inability to find a woman you can love and cherish. Maybe it's something that's going on with a child, or maybe wanting to have a child. Maybe it's something in your finances. Maybe you have made some poor decisions. Or maybe you're stuck and you just can't get ahead. Job insecurity, some kind of an undiagnosed health problem. You can't sleep. You're irritable. You have sad feelings about the way that your life is turning out. You're even depressed about it. Or you can't get your act together. You're have an addiction. Maybe it's drugs or alcohol. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's Instagram likes. Or maybe you just lack self-control and self-discipline, and that's why you can't get it together. You're out of time, you're out of money, or both, and it's scary. You dread the future. Or you're suffering at the hands of others, those you thought were your friends. You have people who have turned against you. Maybe you've done nothing wrong, maybe you have, but you're on the run. You're on defense, and you don't know how to make it right. You're sad. You've prayed, you've wailed, you've tried every trick in your book, but nothing seems to move the needle. You need a breakthrough. You urgently need to hear from God. Fasting is a discipline that can help us in this particular area. The first thing I want us to talk about is just how desperate are you to hear from God? Just how desperate are you to hear from God? We all like to put a good face on things, a good spin on things. How was your week? Great. But then there are these underlying issues that I just mentioned that are gnawing away at you, and you're desperate for some relief. You need a breakthrough. So in the book of Nehemiah, he heard from his brother that Jerusalem, his country, his home country, was in disarray. The walls were broken down. The gate to the city had been burned. And so in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, Nehemiah says, "When I heard these things, I was troubled, but what could I do? I'm just one man. Besides, I already have a job and life is stressful." Well, that's not what a believing man does, right? Here's what a believing man does, the real version. "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days, I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." And I've highlighted the word "some" here because he didn't say how many days. And fasting is not a scheduled, specific, pro forma, formulaic kind of a thing. There are many different ways of fasting, and we'll delve into this some more. But when he had his heart broken because he saw the way his country was going, he mourned, he wept, he prayed, and he fasted. He elevated his desire to have a breakthrough, to hear from God. The big idea today is one fast could change your life forever. One fast could change your life forever. The first experience that I had with fasting was watching another man do it. I was at a retreat put on by the fellowship at Windy Gap, a Young Life camp in North Carolina, the Fellowship Foundation. And this guy who was he was like this business dynamo in Atlanta, but he was a young guy, and he was desperate to hear from God. And so he spent the entire weekend fasting at this particular retreat. A few years later, I found myself in business problems of all kinds. It was amazing. I was in my early 30s, and I had decided to build a high-rise in downtown Orlando, the Fairwinds building. And I was like 31 years old. What was I thinking? I mean, I was nuts. And so I just had problems. And one of our former members here, Ted Bywater, you may know the Bywater Company. His son runs that now. But Ted and I, this is before the Bible study started, Ted and I were talking on the phone one Monday afternoon at 2 p.m., and he encouraged me to fast. I was pouring out my heart to, and he encouraged me to fast. And it just clicked, just like that. That's what I need to get to the next level. That's what I need to pierce this kind of like impenetrable wall between me and peace and feeling like God was real and God was involved in the situation. So I decided to do that. And I called Patsy. She's this very wise person. Doesn't say a lot, but when she speaks, it's very powerful. And she really gave me a confirmation that she thought that was a good idea. So I started to fast. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't really know why I was doing it particularly, other than I really needed God. And I didn't know when I would end. I didn't know how I would know when it would end. I just knew that I was going to fast. And so I did. I fasted, and it ended up being 4 days. 4 days I fasted, like a water-only fast. And at the end of 4 days, my circumstances hadn't changed, but I had radically changed. Something had changed forever in my heart, in my soul, in my life. And I had a peace, not because my circumstances had been overcome, but I had a peace, the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension, in the middle of the malaise that I was in. That one fast then changed my life forever. Some of you have experienced this. You have had that time of fasting when God has intervened in a powerful way, it changed your life forever. Now, that doesn't mean that I haven't had other problems and other times of discontent or times that I feel like I need additional breakthroughs, but it set my whole life on a different course. And so when I had a friend who developed incurable hepatitis type, is it C or B or whatever it is, some kind of incurable hepatitis, and at the four-year mark, he was starting to fade. At the four-year mark, it looked like, you know. And so I decided that other people were praying, but I decided that I would fast. So I fasted for him one day a week for 40 days. And other people were praying, but he was healed. It was powerful. And so then, now I'm really encouraged, engaged. And then Bill Bright decided in 1994 to do a 40-day fast. And he invited leaders, really from all over, but 600 leaders converged here in Orlando. And I went down and I got inspired. So I decided that I was going to do a 40-day fast. So I got 14 days into that fast. I got 10 days into that fast. 10 days in, I'd lost my hunger completely. I wasn't even hungry. By 14 days, I was so irritable and so mean and so nasty that I told my wife I couldn't do a 40-day fast, and I quit. And so there's not one little way to do this, and it doesn't mean just because you're doing fasting that you're the most spiritual person in the world. And Dylan, I think we're a little hot up here, still a little hot on the sound. But that one fast absolutely put my whole life on a different course. And so then after that, I did start fasting again, one day a week. And for the next 10 years, I fasted one day a week. And then I started racing cars. Some of you remember the car era when I was racing cars, which I raced, till I ran out of money. And that didn't take long. But anyway, but during that car period, I needed to be in peak shape and performance and so all that kind of stuff. And so, it was incredibly intense physically. And so I just didn't feel the need to fast. So I didn't fast. So it's not an obligation. It's not legal. It's fasting is not a transaction. It's not that you do something for God and then God does something for you. It's more of a relationship development type of discipline where you love God and you want more of God in your life. But it's not a transaction. None of the disciplines really are a transaction. It's a way to bring yourself into the real presence of Jesus. You've heard me say that this year, my big thing this year is to consciously walk in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. It's another way of consciously bringing yourself into the presence and power of the Holy Spirit on a moment-by-moment basis. So, again, the big idea is just doing it one time can change your life forever, give you a whole new way of thinking about it. And now after racing, I started, I guess, so since 2012, I've been fasting one day a week. One day a week. I'll tell you a little bit more about the details of that when we get down to helping you design a fast if you want to do it for yourself. But now we need to make the case for fasting biblically because this is a Bible study. So the first example that I found in the Bible is in Judges, and there was a civil war in Israel between the tribe of Benjamin and the rest of the nation, and the Benjamites were routing the rest of Israel. And so anyway, the whole army went up to Bethel, and there they sat weeping before the Lord. They fasted that day until evening and presented burnt offerings and fellowship offerings and inquired of the Lord. And so notice here they fasted, in this particular case, they fasted one day until evening. And God, this was a response to, an overwhelming national crisis that they were in. So that's the first example. Then there was an impending genocide when in the book of Esther, Haman got the king to issue an edict to exterminate all Jews everywhere throughout the kingdom. And Esther was approached by Mordecai to approach the king and ask for relief. And she said this to Mordecai, sent the message, "Go gather all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day." Now, that's a pretty serious fast. No, eat or drink, not even hydration, for 3 days. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go ask the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Do you need a big breakthrough? I mean, how big of a breakthrough do you need? Maybe you feel like you're facing your own genocide. David was betrayed by friends, and there's several places in Psalms where you read about that, but in Psalm 109:24, he says, "My knees give way from fasting. My body is thin and gaunt." So just this would indicate that there had been an extended period where he was in anguish, and just it felt like there was he was in a morass that he could not get out of. Turns out we know that he was chased by Saul for 13 years, but he had other problems with other friends as well. Lots of betrayals, et tu, Brutus, and all that kind of stuff. But he said, my knees give way from fasting. So even though he was fasting, there was a period where he must not have been hearing from God. It was taking longer than he thought it would. And so that's another aspect, but he didn't give up. And then in Joel chapter 1, verse 14, there's a crop failure. Locusts come and decimate the crops. And so verse 14 says, declare a holy fast, call a sacred assembly, and so forth and so on. And then again, this big idea here is just that these people found that one fast could change their life forever. And you can find that one fast might change your life forever as well. All of these different situations that I've talked about, there was success from God at the end of those fasts. Now, not every fast is going to end up in a healing of the cancer or a healing of the broken relationship. It's not, but it will result in a healing of you. That's the key. So let's talk about designing a fast. If it's something, some of you have fasted, tried it out. Some of you fast regularly or some sporadically. When Man in the Mirror in 1994, about the time this Bill Bright thing was going on, not long after that, we needed some direction for Man in the Mirror, 1994. We were just starting to do a few seminars. There were five of us on staff. David Delk had just come on board. Some of you remember Betty Filer, a couple other people. B.J. Belden, a couple of other people, and one other person. And then, but we were stuck. We were just stuck. We knew that we had this yearning to do something great for God, to have an impact, to make a difference. But nothing seemed to want to work. We were just kind of like stuck. And so at this point, I'm now becoming pretty familiar with fasting. And so I asked the other four staff members if they would like to do a fast, if we could fast together for direction from God to get a breakthrough, because we needed a breakthrough. We were desperate to hear from God. And I was surprised that these are all great Christians, that none of them had ever fasted before. None of them had ever. And so we did that. We together as a staff, we did a fast. I don't even remember the details of it, but I remember that God showed up and gave us a direction. And now here we are all these years later, and Man in the Mirror has worked with thousands of churches all over the world and helped reach millions and millions of men. And now I'm the only one left on the staff that from those five. But in the early years after that, as things were really starting to take off, we always would point back to that day of fasting and prayer as our breakthrough, as our turning point. That's what designing a personal fast can do. One fast can actually change your world forever. So some of you have done this all the time, but you might also be like our four staff members. Maybe you've never tried that before. And so let's talk about designing a fast. And so whether this is the first time you would ever even think about it, or maybe you don't want to think about it, that's fine too. But if you would be open to thinking about it, or maybe you already fast and would like to take it to the next level, here are just a few thoughts. So who, why, how, long, and when? So who should do this? Well, it's probably not the first spiritual discipline that you would want to take up right after you become a follower of Jesus, right? So can you imagine going to a church where they say, welcome visitors, we're so glad you're here today. We want to welcome you to our church, and to help you get acquainted with our church, we're going to invite you to join a 2-year Bible study where we study Christianity in the original Greek starting with a 40-day fast. So sign-up sheets are in your aisles, and please, you know, so that's not going to happen, right? So who maybe when you're a little bit further along, but who knows? Maybe it is. Maybe you've only been a Christian for a week, a follower of Jesus for a week. Maybe today would be the day. There's no right or wrong. And then why would you do this? Well, it's not to improve your physique. It's not to improve your health. Would it? Perhaps. But that's health reasons. You know, fast for health reasons. That's great. Fasting's become very popular, especially like intermittent fasting, stuff like that. You hear this all the time. And I have friends who do it, and you do too. But this is not about physical health. This is about spiritual connection, engagement with the living God. That's what this is about. And then how long should you fast? Well, we've seen from the scriptures, there's no right or wrong answer. It could be you skip one meal. It could be you do it from sunup to sunup. A lot of religions, I mean, all religions employ fasting. Fasting has a long history. Hippocrates was writing about it in ancient Greece. From a medical standpoint, all the religions include fasting as part of their cultures, if you will, or part of the traditions. And biblically, you know, for all the way, you know, Moses, Ezra, Zechariah, I mean, all biblical characters, or many of the biblical characters, have examples of fasting. Church fathers, John Calvin, John Wesley, John Knox, Charles Finney. I mean, all of them have these great, rich histories of fasting. And but the length of the fast is anything from maybe, or if you are in the, like a Catholic tradition, we have a number of Catholic brothers part of our Bible study, you know, giving up something for Lent, that fasting from one particular thing, there are all kinds of different, you can design any way you want and do it for however long you want. And when to do it, I'll talk more about that. And I want to mention that Jesus gives us a real good clue about when we should fast. And he does this in Luke chapter 5, verses 33 to 35, when the Pharisees are questioning Jesus about fasting. And it says, they said to him, the Pharisees, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees." So you can see this is scripture affirming that fasting is just widespread. Fasting fell into disfavor in the Middle Ages because there was a kind of a reaction to the ascetic life, monastic lifestyle. There was kind of a reaction against that. And so fasting kind of fell out of favor among a lot of the Christian communities. But in this particular day, in the day of Jesus, it was like part of the whoop and warp of the culture there. And so anyway, the John's disciples and the Pharisees' disciples, you know, they fast, but yours, Jesus, they go on eating and drinking. And Jesus answered, "Can you make friends? Can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days, they will fast." So you have the Holy Spirit, if you're a follower of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. You have the Spirit of Jesus inside of you. When you receive Jesus, you don't invite a little man to go into your heart who walks around inside your heart. You're inviting the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Holy Spirit. It's the Trinity. We're a monotheistic religion. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, but one substance. So it's Jesus Christ who is inside of us, But there are times when you feel like he's been taken away or he's not there. You feel absent from Christ. And these are the times, Jesus says, those are the times of fast. When the bridegroom is taken away, in those days they will fast. Anytime you don't feel close to Jesus, that's a time to fast. It's a good time to fast. I can't think of any discipline any more powerful than fasting to bring you back into the real presence of Jesus Christ, or to bring you consciously into the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, who happens to be Jesus. So frequency and method. The frequency, you know, you could do it one time. One time's enough. Can change your life. You can do it on special occasions. You could do it routinely. You know, I do it once a week. My method is, personally, I do it differently from week to week sometimes. I 80% of the time do it on a Monday, and I eat dinner on Sunday night, then I skip breakfast and lunch, and eat dinner again on Monday. So it's a 24-hour fast, skipping two meals, and I work. I continue to work. So I will drink a couple of protein shakes during the day just to get enough calories to make it through the day. If I get a little sleepy, which is not uncommon, I'll go ahead and take a nap. Don't feel any hesitation to take a little nap. Idea of if you have some, and my reason for fasting now is I fast and pray for people, and I have a prayer ministry. God has given me a prayer ministry over the last, since 2012 when I started this. And so I'm fasting and praying for people, not really kind of like cataclysmic events or impending doom. But if you have a cataclysmic event or impending doom, you may want to do something more radical. I have somebody this week who told me that he's wanting a business deal to come together, and there are some impediments. He has to get approvals from four people in order for this business deal to come together. And he wrote that he said he feels strongly compelled or led that he needs to fast. So he has this big thing that he's hoping will happen, this single event that he's hoping to happen, these four approvals. So he's going to go on a fast. And he doesn't really know how long he's going to be fasting, but he just felt like that would be one way that he could invoke the power and presence of God into his circumstances or into his life. So there's no one right method. What's the right method for you? It's the one that you want to do. It's the one that you feel comfortable. So I would just ask you, is fasting a neglected spiritual discipline in your life? Is it something that you have not known about, not paid attention to, or known about and neglected? And if no matter what the answer is, what if it's possible that one fast actually could change your life forever? Wouldn't that be worth taking out for a spin? The big idea? One fast could change your life forever. Let's pray. Our dearest Father, first of all, thank you so much for how prevalent fasting is in Scripture. And wow, that we can read it over and over and kind of miss that if we're not careful. But just, and how powerful it is that when you, Jesus, are, we don't sense that you're with us, that's when we should fast. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would show each of us how you would like us to interact with this spiritual discipline. And I just pray that many of us would feel led to think about it this week, perhaps engage in an experiment, and take fasting out for a spin and just see if it really is true that one fast might be able to change our lives forever. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at biblestudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.